Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, have we recovered from our cross-country journey after the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game? How are we feeling?
Adam, you know, I'm doing all right. It was a long day of travel, but we're back. Kind of digest what we encountered. But I got to make mention of this, Adam, at the top here. You know, so we get to the media room at Langley Event Center, and it was like someone then all of a sudden put on the song Celebration by Kool and the Gang, because there in the corner of the room was a 4-foot long table with everything Tim Hortons.
It was a beautiful piece of Canadiana. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you tweeted a photo of the multiple boxes of donuts and cookies and the large vat of coffee. Full credit. And before we dig too deeply, we do have to thank the great people from the Canadian Hockey League who did a fantastic job, you know, running things. It was a great event, and they made it a lot better. But yeah, having the Tim Hortons was a huge thumbs up.
It was awesome. It was awesome. And you know, we did get to speak to a lot of good young prospects at this tournament, guys that are going to be drafted either first round, maybe early second round. So it was, you know, as far as talking to the kids, getting to know and learn about them was one of the big things and big reasons we always go to this event, Adam. And then the game in general, I thought was, you know, was played really well. It was a game in which I thought, you know, you think of going to all-star type games and it's just going to be a lot of skill involved. Everyone's going to be pushing back and you're not going to see a lot of defense, but I'm telling you, right, it was a lot of hitting. There was a lot of engagement, a lot of, you know, chatting between players on opposite teams. The goalies were coming up huge at certain points. It was a pretty entertaining game.
Well, the goalies, I think, stole the show a little bit, especially early. You know, Carson Bjarnason from Brandon and Scott Ratzlaff from Seattle for Team Red and Team White, respectively. They were fantastic, especially Ratzlaff, right? Yeah. I think he made 24 out of 25 saves. Yeah. And the thing that stood out to me, and I talked to Ratzlaff after the game about it, was, you know, the give and go with Connor Bedard at the midway through the second period. It ended up being Ratzlaff's last save. You know, we had to go post to post to make a really, really strong save on, you know, obviously the guy who's going to go number one in the draft to keep him off the scoreboard. And it was interesting in talking to Ratzlaff after the game, he said, you know, it was a team effort. It was the team's goal, not necessarily to win the game, to keep Connor Bedard off the scoreboard. You know, we're going to talk to Connor Bedard later in the show. You'll hear that interview, but it was really interesting to hear from Ratzlaff that's like their number one goal was to not allow Connor Bedard to have a point. He's got a point in 32 straight Western Hockey League games. We all saw what he did at the World Juniors when he tore that tournament up. But, you know, it was interesting to see, you know, an all versus one sort of mentality there to keep him off the board. And it worked. And you know, he still had 6 shots on goal. He still created, like, you know, if you watch the game Wednesday, you saw the way on the power play, he wheels through the slot and he gets that, you know, outstanding wrist shot on goal that Ratzlaff's able to fight off. Mentioned the give and go with Zach Benson midway through the second that he was able to stop, but 6 shots on goal. You saw the playmaking, but you know, it was interesting to hear that it was a total team effort to not just, you know, contain Bedard. Don't let him get a point. That's our goal. We win. Maybe that was secondary, but we want to not allow this guy to get a point.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll discuss Bedard and obviously Oliver Bonk had a real nice game from London, a right-handed D who we'll get into. We did talk to Bedard, and we're going to get into that interview shortly. But back to Ratzlaff, Adam, you know, number 6 on Central Scouting's North American list of goaltenders. Real smart. He challenged really well. Real good at getting square into position very quickly from what I saw. He could protect the corners really well, right, on those shots that he faced. And of the 6 shots that Bedard had in that game, he stopped all 4 that he saw from Bedard, including that last one at the end there, which was, you know, a lot of athleticism. You saw the quickness he was able to bring to the table there. And to go 24 of 25 as far as, you know, saves the shots was pretty incredible. And he also stopped a Michigan attempt.
Stopped the Michigan. I was waiting to see if you would
another corner. He got right in the right-hand corner there. Stopped the Michigan Riley Height, who was who was actually named the player of the game for Team Red out of Prince George, another highly regarded forward in this draft class. So two other guys, too, I'd like to mention, maybe weren't on my radar as much entering the game. We obviously knew about them. But Luca Pinelli from Ottawa, he's number 49, a projected second round, maybe third round choice in this draft. Real good game, Adam. I liked, you know, his quickness. He goes about 5'9", maybe 165, 170, had five shots, had a goal, strong performance. He played alongside center Nate Danielson of Brandon and Ethan Gauthier of Sherbrooke. And Luca is the brother of Francesco, plays with Kitchener. He was a second round choice to the Kings in 2021. So Pinelli plays hard. He plays like he has a kind of that chip on his shoulder, the type of guy you'd love to have on your team, but you know, to really hate to play against. And the other guy that kind of stood out for me too, that he just seemed to be on, you know, when he was on the ice, he was making things happen everywhere on the ice. Grayson Sachin, from Seattle. He's number 42 on Central Scouting's North American list. So another maybe mid-second round, late second round, early third round centerman. Had three shots on goal, didn't register a point. But again, it's just one of those things where you just noticed him on most of his shifts. He played his minor hockey at Shattuck St. Mary's. The other thing I noticed, too, in his bio is the fact that he drinks coffee pregame as part of his superstition.
Oh,
so
boy.
There's nothing wrong with that, Adam. When you drink coffee pregame, these kids got to drink coffee. They got to understand that this gets them going. This gets them jacked up. Let's get So the Thunderbirds have a strong team this year, of which Grayson plays for. And he's been part of that. You figure the older players on a major junior team would get a majority of the goals, assists and points, but Grayson has been right in that mix with all these players, and he can play both center and wing. But he was playing right wing at the prospects game with center Matthew Catterford, who did have a goal from Halifax, and Nico Matovic of Seattle, his teammate. So, I like what Grayson had to offer in this game, and he was just another player that stood out to me.
I think you need to mix in a little decaf next time. You're not going out for a game. Just, you know, dial it back a little bit. But for me, you know, I'm going to go Colby Barlow from Team White. I thought he had a fantastic game. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he's second in the league and second in the Ontario League with 32 goals. And you could see why. He looks like a power forward at the next level. The way he got in front of the net, you know, great hands, showed those great hands down low on his goal. You know, he tips the Braden Jaeger shot into the pads of Carson Bjarnason. And then is so quick enough to switch it, flip it, and go right over the pad to tuck it in for a goal. I thought he was outstanding. You know, he looks like, I mean, I guess we made the joke, he was sitting next to Brent Seabrook for the team photo, and it was hard to tell. You know, they could have passed for brothers. You know, he's that mature looking physically, Barlow, and his game is very mature. So I was really impressed by him. That whole top line for Team White, Barlow and Braden Jaeger and Cohen Zimmer, I thought they all played an outstanding game. You know, we talked about the goalies. Cam Allen, defenseman for Team Red, who plays for he plays in the Ontario League. He's a guy that was really well regarded early in the season, had some injuries, maybe some inconsistent play. But I thought every time he touched a puck, he made really, really good decisions with it, whether it was skating it out of the zone, whether it was a quick pass to get it out of the zone to start the transition, start the breakout. I was really impressed with just everything that he did, you know, just looked impressive, looked smart. And if that's the kind of thing where, you know, there aren't a lot of defensemen that are going to blow your hair back in this year's draft. There's some really good ones, but so many top end forwards that there could be a defenseman that goes in the top 10 that maybe you wouldn't expect it, but because of the scarcity of the position and team needs, maybe one sneaks in there. And we've talked about a few guys in the past, whether it's, you know, a guy like Axel Sandin Pelikka, whether it's somebody like, you know, Lukas Dragicevic, whether it's somebody like David Reinbacher, who we saw at World Juniors. Cam Allen's a guy who could have a chance with a big second half of the season to sneak into being, you know, a top 10, top 15 pick, because you see the skill, you see the smarts. If he's able to show it on a consistent basis, maybe scouts see that there's something there to build off of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a draft where, and we've said it all along on previous podcasts, Adam, NHL draft class, that, you know, we're not really sure where these defensemen are going to fall, but we do think that there could be as many as maybe 10, 12 forwards taken at the top. So where are these defensemen going to fall? Cam Allen is right in that mix. There's no doubt about it. One other thing that, and it's always fun, right, Adam, when two players maybe discuss things, talk about it and say, hey, you know what, let's drop the mitts. Let's get the fans into the mix here and see what, you know, maybe spice some things up. And Callum Lind, the grain farmer, right, from Saskatchewan.
Well, his parents are, at least. I don't know if he's out there.
Well, he did. But Kalen was one of the kids that I was able to talk to for 15, 20 minutes. And he was part of that for a few years. Obviously, his parents wanted the family, you know, the brothers and siblings to kind of, you know, learn hard work, what it takes to be, you know, become a successful individual off the ice, you know, a lot of hard work. And that's what they were doing over there in Saskatchewan. So Kalen drops the mitts with Alex Ferrand of Sudbury. So it was a spirited tilt, a lot of right hands thrown. The fans were up on their feet. So that's, I mean, hey, no one got hurt, which is the best thing, but it's always good to see a little tilt like that in an all-star event.
Well, we didn't get hurt. I'm sure those guys' hands and faces maybe weren't feeling all that great afterwards. But that's the thing, like, people sort of forget. And it's funny, I talked to Henrik Sedin about this. You know, he didn't, you know, the Sedin brothers got to be the guest coach, Henrik with Team Red and Daniel with Team White. And Henrik said it wasn't really a game that was on their radar until they were named to take part in this. And they watched and they said, you know, these aren't like quote unquote all-star games. There's some real intensity to this game. And we watched in the past and there's always at least one fight. There's always at least two guys that will drop the mitts just to show this is part of their game to the NHL scouts that are watching. And that's what this game is about. And, you know, we talked about it off the top. It was a really physical game. I mean, 20 seconds into the game, Lukas Dragicevic took a cross-checking penalty on Connor Bedard. And that was sort of the start of, you know, Team White's quest to take Connor Bedard out of his game, out of his comfort zone. But that's the way that this game is played. There were a lot of hard hits. We only saw the one fight and almost saw a second one near the end there. But yeah, this isn't your traditional all-star game. There's some real intensity there because, look, these guys know they're ultra competitive. That's why they are some of the top players for this year's draft. They know there's NHL scouts watching. They know there's NHL general managers watching. And they want to make an impression. And that's how they make their impression. So it's more than just your traditional all-star game, which I think makes it fun.
Absolutely. And you know, a quick shout out too, and you mentioned him there on that top line with Kobe Barlow, Braden Jaeger. I thought had a real good game, had an assist in the game, was big in the faceoff circle. Also had a few shots in there himself. Was on the power play when he had the chance and played well. So a credit to Braden, what he was able to bring into this game, and a real cheerful guy, right, Adam? We were able to talk to him as well during interview day, and just a kid that just loves playing the game, loves life in general, and it was a real fun guy to talk to. But the other thing too, and we're heading now into our interview with Connor Bedard soon, but the one thing I wanted to mention about Bedard is everyone, you know, it's his presence. Like when he walked into the room for this interview, you know, fans hear the sound bites and they see the talent and everything. But okay, he enters the room, very courteous, you know, firm handshakes all around, and the kid is strong. You can just sense it and feel it. You see it in his arms, the hands. He kind of just has that confidence about him that, you know, that you would want as a scout or a general manager, you want any prospect to have. And I just had that feeling when Bedard walked into the room that this is a kid that already has that professional feel about him.
Well, he understands who he is. I think, you know, he has a real good understanding of who he is, what he is, what kind of talent he has, certainly compared to guys in his peer group, right? Like you just got to look at the back of the hockey card to see those numbers. I mean, what's he's leading the Western Hockey League in goals, assists, and points, and 32 game point streak. We're talking about, you know, maybe the best rep, maybe the longest point streak ever in the Western Hockey League history. It's 51 games. You know, he's got a real shot at it. You know, so like, I think he understands who he is and he knows that he is the best guy. He doesn't have to wave that flag. But when he walks in the room, like we talked to Oliver Bonk, he said it, he's the best 05 born player in the world. there's no getting around that. So let's hear from Connor Bedard in his words. We talked to him the day before the game, and you know, he was excited to talk about all the friends and family he's got coming in because he is a North Vancouver guy. We were only about a half hour drive away in Langley. So let's hear what Connor Bedard had to say. Connor Bedard, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. You know, after everything that happened at the World Juniors, you know, you were already a guy who people are talking about a lot leading into the draft. The volume on that seems to have gotten turned up a lot after everything that happened in Halifax. How have you sort of dealt with the hype? I mean, I know it's kind of surrounded you all year, but have you noticed it ratchet up a little bit? And if so, how do you sort of kind of keep that out of mind and just focus on what you're doing with the Pats?
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing, is just focus on what's going on and what I can control. And, you know, obviously for me, I'm in a team setting, which is good. You have goals every day. You're practicing with each other, trying to get better. And, you know, I think for me, my big thing is just taking it day by day and trying to improve every day. And obviously I still got like 25 games left in my regular season and playoffs, obviously. So, you know, I got to prove myself still. And, you know, that's kind of the mindset I have.
So before I ask my question, Adam, I got to ask Connor this. It's like, all right, so, you know, autograph seekers, a lot of pictures being taken. I mean, you get media requests left and right. When you wake up in the morning, Connor, how big a cup of coffee do you need? Is it a big cup of coffee? Do you like coffee?
I mean, I'll have coffee like on game days, but that's about it before a game. And I mean, other than that, no, I'm just, you know, I think, I mean, every day, obviously it gets kind of, you know, bigger when you're in a tournament like World Juniors. There's going to be more eyes and more people, you know, pictures and whatnot. But, you know, when I'm back home, we're going to the rink and we're going home or hanging out with the team, you know, a lot of days. So it's not too many pictures and stuff, but obviously some days there's more. But that's pretty cool to see a kid wearing your jersey or something like that. So I try to embrace it and, you know, think about it like, you know, wow, this kid's looking up to me or something. So it's pretty cool.
Where's your gold medal now? Where is it?
My one from the summers in Vancouver back home, and the other one I brought to Regina with me. So kind of have one each, or obviously I'll bring the one home in the summer. So, you know, I'm not losing it or anything, but, you know, it's nice to kind of have that, look at it sometimes.
So speaking of World Juniors, we're a little bit past, so kind of the glow is sort of worn off a little bit. Do you go back and watch any of those highlights? Because, you know, the way you dominated that tournament was unlike anything a lot of us have ever seen. Do you go back and watch it? Do you maybe watch the overtime goal against Slovakia?
I mean, not by choice, but I think if, you know, I'll see it or something, and, you know, I'll watch it or whatnot, but, you know, I'm not really, you know, searching up to watch it or anything. I, you know, saw it after the game and stuff. And, you know, if it shows up, I mean, I'll watch it kind of just to see the crowd reaction and stuff. I feel like that's the coolest part.
Has it set in sort of what you did, you know, the records that you set, you know, the point total that you had, the all-time Canadian goal scorer, point getter, you know, most points by an under 18 player, you broke Jágr's record there. Has it set in sort of what you accomplished?
I mean, I don't think about it too much. I feel like, you know, all these guys, you said Jágr, that's, you know, one of the best players to ever play. And, you know, for me, I feel like that's, you know, someone to look up to, not to feel like, you know, you pass them in something. And, you know, these guys have accomplished so much in their lives that, you know, I don't want to kind of, you know, look at a small sample size of a tournament and be like, you know, I pass them or whatever. It's a, you know, small thing, like I said. And, you know, for me, I was happier with the gold medal, obviously.
I thought it was kind of neat. I mean, we have the number one ranked North American skater at World Juniors. We have the number two North American ranked skater in Adam Fantilli. What was it like having Adam as a teammate? And obviously he played a major role towards the end, the big win against the U.S. What was it like as a teammate? And what do you think of him as a player?
Great player. I mean, he's so fast and so dynamic. Obviously he's you know, some of that kind of, you know, pops out just, you know, with his speed, with his size. I mean, he's so powerful, and obviously what he's doing in college is kind of unheard of, I think. And you know, it's so good to see. And, you know, we're really close. I think you know, people, it's funny, I think at the start of the tournament we were joking around about it. You know, we had interviews, you know, about each other, and we're like, you know, we're on the same team, we're friends, we're cheering for each other. And you know, I think that's the mentality we had. You know, to get to spend time with him and obviously kind of get closer with him is always a lot of fun.
You know, the videos, the social stuff generates, you seem to have like your own, you know, highlight meme kind of set on all the social medias.
But when you think about your season, what's been your favorite moment so far? You know, you've got the World Juniors, you've got, you know, the four goal game when you first got back to Regina. But when you look at your season so far, what's been your favorite moment?
It's got to be the gold medal. I think, you know, when you win that, and obviously OT, you see that puck go in the net. It's pretty nuts. The feeling you get, you can't really describe it, I think. And, you know, to have that moment, and I mean, we were such a close group of guys. I think that's something that a lot of people were saying from the outside, it seemed like. And, you know, we really loved each other. And, you know, that's a bond you're going to have forever. So I think that was a pretty special moment. And obviously, hopefully we can have some of those in Regina. But, you know, for right now, that's probably number one.
I'm curious, Connor. I read somewhere, true or false, that you actually turned down a trip to Disneyland because there was some kind of hockey event going on that summer?
Yeah, I mean, we went once to Disneyland, and I feel like I was a little mad. I think I was, you know, I don't know how old I was, but, you know, my family would always kind of want to go on the odd trip every few summers, but I'd always be arguing not to because, you know, I have to miss not even a big event, just open ice or fooling around with your buddies on the ice or something. So, I mean, it's weird to think, but that's all I ever wanted to do. And even now, I think, you know, last summer, my mom wanted to kind of do something my sister wanted to do. And I was like, you know, there's no way I can be going on a trip. So, you know, it's just what I always wanted to do.
But you did go to Hawaii and bring inline skates with you.
Yeah, I probably looked like an idiot out there. I was the only guy with rollerblades and, you know, a stick or whatever, just kind of wheeling around the ocean on the, you know, cement or whatever. So, you know, people were probably looking at me funny, but, you know, I was a kid. I didn't care. I thought it was what I wanted to do.
So you said you've got 25 games or so left in your season with Regina. Where do you still want to get better? Where can you get better in your game?
I mean, that's a, you know, obviously broad question. I think you can say everywhere. And, you know, for me, I think a big thing is kind of improving that overall game and, you know, being someone that's, you know, trusted in the last minute of a game, up a goal, or obviously penalty kill, big face-off, stuff like that's huge. But, you know, obviously you want to improve all areas of your skills and everything, but that's a big, you know, in-game thing I could try to improve.
It's always amazing to me how players were able to deal with COVID during the pandemic, how to get out there, get on the ice and do the things to make them better. I know that, you know, during that period there when a lot of things were shut down, you were in North Vancouver, you were skating with players, and then you went to Sweden and you played there. I know your sister, Madison, went with you, which was awesome. Talk about those experiences. Who did you skate with in North Vancouver, and what was it like going to Sweden and just having your sister there as maybe a support staff?
Yeah, I remember obviously there was a couple months with kind of no ice anywhere, and then once it got going, you know, for a bit, all the NHL guys were Barzal, Hopkins, Jujhar Kara, stuff, those guys, but obviously they went to the NHL bubble, and then, you know, a lot of junior guys and stuff. And you know, then I went to Sweden, HV71, was kind of, they were the program I was with. And, you know, that was awesome to be there, and their training's, you know, so good. I mean, we were skating all the time, you know, doing all those skills that, you know, they do, the Swedish guys are all so good at. And, you know, I got to play with, Alexander Suzalev, who's now on my team in Regina. So maybe that helped the recruiting process to get him to Regina. So that's always a bonus. But you know, that was so fun, and to have that experience was huge. And like you said, with my sister coming, that was really good. You know, obviously, like I said, we've always been super close, and you know, to have her there, and you know, she probably got a little annoyed of cooking for me and stuff, but, you know, it was super, super good of her to come, and I think she enjoyed it as well.
So I'm curious, your coach in Regina, John Paddock, is a guy who's been everywhere, NHL, American League, player, coach, GM. How has he helped you grow in your game?
Yeah, I think with all those things kind of away from the puck is something he's helped me so much with. I think, you know, he's seen it all. He's coached some great players, and obviously at the highest level, and he played at the highest level. So, you know, his knowledge for all of us is so huge. And, you know, for myself, it's, you know, been a real benefit to obviously have him coaching me.
You know, I'm curious. I talked to Claude Giroux as one of the guys that he coached, and Giroux credits John with helping him learn how to make that transition from wing to center in the NHL. You've played center in Regina. You played on the wing at the World Juniors. Where do you envision yourself at the next level?
I mean, I don't know. I've always played center my whole life. So obviously that would be something I'd want for the time being. But, you know, I think, you know, if I was lucky enough to play in the NHL, I wouldn't really care what position I'm playing. But You know, I see myself more of a center, and that's kind of, you know, what I've played growing up my whole life.
One more for me, Connor. Have you ever been to Chicago, Anaheim, or Columbus?
I've been to Chicago when I was younger, for like a tournament or something, and then Anaheim is Disneyland in Anaheim. So I've been to Anaheim as well. So two pretty nice cities, obviously.
Speaking of that, just, I know people are going to ask you about this, but do you pay attention to what's going on in the NHL, and how much can you pay attention while you're worried about your season?
No, I don't pay attention really. I feel like, you know, I still got to go prove myself every night, and, you know, we got goals, we got Regina, we want to win and be one of those top teams. So, you know, I never really focus on that, and people, you know, ask me if I'm checking out the standings or whatever, you know, that's not something I'm doing, and I'm trying to focus on, you know, myself and my team.
Well, Connor, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. Best of luck to you the remainder of the season, and best of luck at the NHL Draft.
Thank you, guys.
Mike, you know, it was so much good stuff from Bedard. He does. He has that presence that he knows who he is. And there's a cool confidence to him that really comes out in these interview type settings.
Adam, you know, never mind the fact he's the projected number one pick in the draft. It could be the next great generational talent. I was, first and foremost, curious to find out if he was a coffee drinker.
Because he looked a little confused when you brought that up, though. We should have probably told him that half this podcast is coffee talk as well as hockey.
But he did say, I'm a coffee drinker on game days, right? So he fits the bill. Check. Connor Bedard, one more. So, yeah. But, I mean, look, it was a great rap session with Bedard. And, you know, obviously at the end, he went along with us. You know, have you ever been to Chicago? Have you ever been to Anaheim, Columbus? Yeah, you know, he's been to Chicago, at a tournament once before. He was in Anaheim at Disney, hasn't been to Columbus yet. So that was an interesting one, but, yeah, it was real good to spend some time with him, learn a little bit about, his sister and how much of an influence, she has on his career. And, you know, her joining him in Sweden during the lockdown, the pandemic, to be able to play in Sweden with HV71 and the impact she had there, you know, cooking them meals and everything else. And but it was a lot of fun to get to know him. Obviously, we know so much about him on the ice, but to get to know him off the ice was just as good.
Yeah. And to go back to the Chicago and the Anaheim talk, I thought it was interesting. He said, you know, he just doesn't have the time to look at the NHL standings. He watches games. He's a huge hockey fan. He's a huge Vancouver Canucks fan. He grew up in North Vancouver. But, you know, and I think it's smart, right? Like, it gains him nothing by worrying about in January where he might end up in June. It does him no good to spend any time, you know, trying to guess what NHL team jersey he's going to put on. Because so much can change and so much can happen. So for him, you know, it's Regina. It's getting into the WHL playoffs. It's maybe pushing for the Memorial Cup. You know, Regina's right on that fringe right now to, you know, if they're going to make the WHL playoffs or not. That's what he wants to do, you know, and we heard it even going back to the World Juniors, right? Like, winning is the only thing that matters to him. He's got all the individual accomplishments. And, you know, some guys, it's lip service, right? We've heard guys say, oh, it's about the team, blah, blah, blah. I think in his case, it really is. I think, you know, he's got enough individual accolades. He's scored enough goals. He's led this league, that league in scoring and all that stuff. I think he just wants to win. I think he's proud of the gold medals he won at the World Juniors. And I think he really wants to win in Regina. He said, I want to win in Regina. That's what he wants to do. That's where his focus is. So to me, that's an impressive quality for a kid. He doesn't have goals or points targeted in mind. I bet if we asked him, I don't even know if he would know what his point streak is at. We know because we're in the media, we're supposed to know, but, you know, it's winning. I think he probably knows more. He probably knows how many wins Regina has before he knows how many points he has.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good quality.
Absolutely. And I also appreciated when I had asked him about Adam Fantilli, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Adam, obviously a teammate of his, on Team Canada, that gold medal winning performance. Fantilli is number two on Central Scouting's North American skaters list for the midterm. So obviously, you know, there's a little bit of a competition there, but he was also a teammate of Bedard. So I was curious to see how he would respond when I asked him, what did you think of Fantilli? Obviously, he's number two in the rankings. And for him to give the response, he's an outstanding player. It was great to get to know him. We're buddies now. And Adam Fantilli, actually, today on NHL.com, we have his draft diary for January. And I had asked Fantilli about Bedard. And he did post in his diary that, yeah, he's a great teammate. It was so much fun to get to know him better, get to play with him. And they both have an appreciation for good, solid players and guys that have, really done well for themselves. And I was glad to hear Bedard say what he did about Fantilli, and there's an appreciation there. So, but the other thing about this whole game in general, and obviously heading into the game, there's a lot of excitement, right, Adam? And we talked about it a little at the top, that this was a real competitive hockey game. Obviously there was some skill on display. We saw that in Bedard in certain instances from Braden Jaeger, from Colby Barlow. But I think one of the main talking points at the conclusion of this game was how Oliver Bonk from London, the right-handed D, goes about maybe 6'2", 174. He's number 18 on Central's North American list. So a projected, mid to maybe late first rounder, maybe early second if he gets that far. But Bedard goes about 5'10", 185. How Bonk just, completely, when he saw Bedard on the ice, he was a completely changed player. And I say that because it was funny, the fact I had about 15 minutes of conversation with Bonk prior to this game. And not once did he mention having so much enjoyment getting under the skin of opposing forwards or players. He mentioned being a good two-way defenseman, having that good IQ and being able to use his size and range to maybe shut down plays. But the name Bedard just turned Oliver into a monster at this game. I don't know, maybe it had something to do with the fact Bedard played or helped Canada to defeat Czech in the gold medal game, right, at World Juniors. But Oliver was, born in Ottawa. They moved to Czech. The family moved to Czech until about grade five. Obviously, his dad played in the NHL, Radek Bonk, and then the family moved back to Canada. But, I really liked, the way Oliver was able to maybe get under the skin of Bedard a little bit. And it was interesting because never before have we seen Bedard get that frustrated by a particular player. And, we did catch up with Bonk at the conclusion of the game, and there were some interesting sound bites as well.
Not just to get under his skin, just to try to shut him down, because obviously he's the best 05 in the world right now, so that's obviously one of my big goals in the whole tournament. When the player's that good, you just try to have to get under his skin, like do anything you can to get him off his game, so that's what I was doing. Just like chirping at each other, just trying to get him off his game a bit.
It's interesting to hear the guy say, look, that was our goal. We wanted to get under his skin. And he said, it worked. We got it. It was great to get him off the ice for 2 minutes. I've watched his game for a long time. I can't remember NHL, CHL, anything where a guy skated into the celebration hug of the opposing team and was ready to throw. Bedard just jumped right in there and he was just like, he was angry. He was angry. And you're right. The frustration really came through, and I think it was a game long kind of, like, I asked Bedard after the game, I said, was that little incident, was that an in the moment thing, or had that been building all game? And he sort of sidestepped that. He said, look, it's hockey, you take hits, you give hits, and I cross-checked a guy and I got a penalty and that was it. But you go back to the first period, the first shift of the game, Lukas Dragicevic cross-checks Bedard from behind into the boards, and Dragicevic had a little bit of a smirk on his face as he skated to the penalty box, and Bedard was angry, and I think that sort of set the stage for what was to come. And, he and Bonk all game had the trash talking, the chirping going back and forth, and I think at the end of the game, there was some real frustration. Team White gets that last empty net goal, and Bedard saw an opportunity to maybe do something there beyond the whistle. And it's interesting, to see a guy give into the frustration. You don't want to see that. But at the same time, he's 17 years old. Excuse me. He won't be 18 until July. But to see a guy, allow that to bother him like that, It's interesting. It can go both ways, right? You don't want to see him lose his temper because 2 minutes in the box, Connor Bedard can do a lot of things, but he can't score from the penalty box. But the other side of it is, stands up for himself. He's not going to be pushed around. He's not going to allow that to happen. And look, we saw it at World Juniors. Teams tried to play physical with him. Teams in the Western League have tried to play physical with him. It's one of the few things you can do to get him out of his game or to try to get him off his game, because he doesn't have, you know, he's not Milan Lucic out there. He's not Tom Wilson out there. He's not even Connor McDavid out there. He's 5'10 and 180 pounds. So, you know, he does need to get bigger and stronger, obviously, to play his game at the next level. But for now, if you can try to get under his skin physically, that's what you have to do to try to get him out of being the player that he is. But at the same time, if I'm an NHL scout, I like seeing that feistiness. I like seeing that willingness to, you know, you're going to cross-check me. Well, I'm going to give you two right back. I'm not going to stand for it. And I don't need a guy necessarily who's going to take up the battle for me. I'll handle things myself. Maybe not every time, you don't want to see him do that, but you see the willingness to do it. And to me, that's a good thing. If I'm an NHL general manager, that I see the guy that he's going to stand up for himself. He's not going to allow himself to be pushed around. So again, you don't want to see it all the time, but some of the time it's good to see.
Yeah. I mean, while it was frustrating at some points for Bedard, I mean, he still had a real nice game. Like we said, he took 6 shots on goal, finished 9 for 11 in the faceoff circle. One of the things, Adam, you know, last year during the final Central scouting meetings, and this was last April, prior to Bedard's draft eligible season this season. So at that time, I remember talking to Peter Sullivan, the venerable Peter Sullivan of Central. He's the oldest. He's been there the longest of that staff there now. And I remember asking him about Bedard. He works the dub.
Based in Regina. Peter lives in Regina, right?
And he's at those games constantly. He'll be going to see him, I guess, a few more times here over the second half. But in April, it was Peter that told me. And when we look, Adam, we've heard a lot of comparables to Connor Bedard this year. But for some reason, the one that just keeps resonating with me was what Peter told me last April, and that was Marcel Dion. He sees Marcel Dion and Connor Bedard, because what Peter told me and what he remembers of Dion was, yes, a great goal scorer, a great playmaker, and made everyone around him better, had strength, was a decent skater, wasn't an outstanding skater. But he said the thing about Dion that really, you know, he remembered most was, and it's what you mentioned, Adam, was his pushback, right? He's not going to just take it. He's not going to, yeah, push me, you know, that's all right. I'm just going to do what I do. But no, Bedard is going to do his thing, skill-wise. But if you kind of get under his skin, he's going to come back at you. He's not just going to let it hang and linger and just wait for a moment. No, he'll go right back at you. So I think there's something to be said about that for a player of his skill level, of his talent, to be doing that sort of thing. Now, at that size, will that get him in trouble later on in the NHL whenever he does get in that lineup? I don't know. I guess that's something we'll have to see. And that begs the question of, and we've been talking about this nonstop, and it's going to be a conversation that leads up to the draft, Adam, is Connor Bedard that generational talent? We've heard some people say yes. Some people are in limbo about it in the middle. And some people say no. It's, you know, we're using the term too loosely is what everyone is saying now. We're using the generational tag too loosely. Well, you know, you look at his shot, you know, when you compare his shot to McDavid or Auston Matthews in their draft eligible year, where would that stack up? To me, Bedard has a better shot. You know, maybe Matthews, as far as McDavid, I remember what McDavid was able to do. I think Bedard has that shot that you just don't see very often in a 17-year-old player. Skating? No, you know, McDavid's probably was a better skater in his draft eligible season. IQ, work ethic, it's probably a wash. So generational talent, yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen. But for me, it's kind of tipping the scales towards him. Yes, he will be a generational talent.
I would, you know, this isn't going to be a fun debate because we're both on the same side. I agree with you. I absolutely think Bedard is a generational player. Does he have McDavid's skating speed? No, but nobody does. Connor McDavid is Carl Lewis on ice. It's track star speed, straight ahead, you know, side to side, whatever you want to do. McDavid is a better skater than Bedard. But I talked to Henrik Sedin about this, and you know, Henrik Sedin would know from producing without being an outstanding skater. He said, as good as Bedard is, what makes him special is that he doesn't rely on his skating. He's a good skater. He's a very good skater, but he's more than that. He's got talent. He's got the vision. He's got the anticipation. Then you add in the shot. You know, he can create for himself. He can create for his teammates. You know, he does things out there that we haven't seen at his age. And we really can only compare him to guys in his peer group, guys, you know, whether it was at the World Juniors or in the Western Hockey League. And look, he's dominated every league he's been in. He's dominated as a 16-year-old. He dominated the world under 18s. As a 17-year-old, he obliterated the World Junior Championship, did things that nobody's ever done. Gretzky didn't do it. McDavid didn't do it. Lindros didn't do it. You know, the only guy who was close was Forsberg. Like, that's Hall of Fame level stuff. And he's doing it as a 17-year-old. You know, what Bedard has done this season in the Western League, like, he didn't score opening night. He hasn't not scored since. It's 32 straight games. And, you know, is there any expectation that any team is going to hold him off the scoreboard for the remainder of the Western League season? It would almost feels like it would be an upset if he didn't have at least a couple of points every night. You know, he's doing things in his peer group as a 17-year-old. So not only is he doing these things in his peer group, he's one of, if not the youngest player in his draft class, in his peer group. So to me, it's right up there with what McDavid did as an 18-year-old, what Matthews did as an 18-year-old. Does he have the straight-ahead speed that McDavid does? No. Did he have the shot at 18 that Matthews did? Debatable. Matthews also was doing it in the Swiss League in his draft year against older, more developed, more physically developed men. But I think what Bedard has, he has the benefit of learning from those guys. And, you know, we talked about it with Bedard on an earlier episode of NHL Draft Class, where he went to the BioSteel camp with Connor McDavid. He's learned from him. He's trained with Austin Matthews. He sees how Matthews has the deception on his shot, how he shoots it from different places, from different angles, you know, forward, more forward in his stance, back in his stance, different parts of the blade. He's learned from all those things. So he's taken the best from the best players, and he sort of melded them into his old game, his own game, to make this amalgamation of all the best things, you know, McDavid's able to do, all the best things that Matthews is able to do, all in one package. Does he have to get bigger and stronger? Yes. Does he have to get a little bit quicker? Certainly. But at this point, if you ask me if he is a generational player, I would put him in that group with McDavid, with Matthews, with Crosby. Those are probably the only three guys from our, you know, era of covering the league that I would put in that group. Three guys, and I think Bedard's the fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on there with all your points, Adam. And you know, thinking about the skating thing, and I know it's an issue that has come up quite often as far as Bedard skating. And I've said this before on NHL Draft Class and with other people when I've spoken and when we've just been chatting about Bedard. And you know, Bedard just comes at you in different angles. He's not a straight ahead type of guy. He's good on his edges, but he does it from angling. I think he really kind of tilts defensemen or opposing players in opposite directions and just goes from right to left and then is just able to zip by you. And he's going to be able to do that at the NHL level too, because it is improving. So while it's not straight ahead speed, he does have speed as far as moving laterally and what he needs to do to create offensive chances, not only for himself, but teammates. As far as we know about the work ethic, and we now know after watching him in this game and obviously through video and tape, what type of player he is when you try to get under his skin. You know, Bonk looked to do that, wanted to do that, and he was, because we've never seen this type of response out of Bedard. It was something new for us to witness, but we liked it. You know, this is a player that takes a lot of pride in what he's bringing to the ice, what he wants to provide for his team, whatever team that may be. So if that means, you know, pushing back a little bit, he's going to push back. Will that get him in trouble again at the next level? We'll have to see because of that size. Now, I'm going to make another little comparison here. It's probably not a fair comparison or the same, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's a podcast. Jack Hughes. I still think Jack Hughes is a much better skater than Bedard, but Jack Hughes also had that type of feistiness about him when he was at the program, the NTTP. Despite his size, and he was almost about the same size, Adam, right? 5'10", 165, 170. So he would try to go into the corners at the NTTP. He would get what he needed to, you know, do and show the finesse, able to get pucks, go in front of the net for rebounds. He would do that at the program, and he'd have success. Rookie year in the NHL didn't work out so well. You know, he was getting clobbered in the corners, big defenseman. Jack Hughes learned how to play the NHL game. And now, in my eyes, when I watch Jack Hughes, he's almost has those Patrick Kane type qualities about him when he skates. He's able to figure out where the open ice is, where his teammates are, back passes. You don't have to go, you know, on the transition, go head to head one, you know, take the puck and just go up ice. You have teammates around you. Use those teammates. A lot more give and goes. You need the give and goes as a player that size. That's what Patrick Kane does. That's what makes him so good. Jack Hughes is doing that. Will Connor Bedard learn to do that? And Adam, that brings me to my question to you, and we've talked about this too, is Bedard could be playing wing at the NHL level. It's not a bad thing. You're going to get just as an effective a Connor Bedard at wing than you would at center.
I mean, he only set the Canadian World Junior record playing on the wing. I think it worked out okay for him. Yeah, I think it could go both ways, right? Like we asked him this and he said he's only really played the middle. He's more comfortable in the middle. And for some guys, they like having that open space and they can function well in there. And some guys don't mind it. They'll move to the wing. I think what you said is true. Wherever you put Connor Bedard on the ice, maybe with the exception of goalie, he's going to dominate a game. He has that skill. He has that talent. So what's the best position for him? Maybe at 18, maybe it is playing the wing. Maybe it is, you know, kind of working and getting stronger and eventually being able to fill it out enough where he can play in the middle and be effective, similar to the way Jack Hughes sort of had to learn. I think that is a really good comparison, Mike. You know, and you've gotten to see Jack Hughes up close and personal covering the Devils the last few years. But I don't think it matters, right? I think, and it could be a hybrid, right? Where he plays, you know, and I saw it in Philadelphia when Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier played together. Giroux played the middle of the ice from the defensive blue line into the offensive zone, and Sean Couturier played center from in the defensive zone. So he could handle the big guys down low and he could be the 200-foot guy and take all the faceoffs. Maybe that's what Bedard ends up being, you know, a half center, half winger. And you're playing with a guy who can flip the same way. Maybe that's how it starts, but how it finishes, you know, I think he's going to be an outstanding NHL player no matter where you play him.
No doubt. We're talking about Bedard here. We've got previous podcasts you can check out as well. Right, Adam? We had discussions with Jason Bukala from Sportsnet. The scout over there does a great work writing-wise and was on a podcast with us. David Gregory was on with us talking about the midterm rankings in our previous episode. David had some great stuff to say, not only about Bedard, but about those other players in the top 15, top 30, possibly going in the first round. And we also had Dan Maher earlier in the year on the PTW list of players to watch and what to look for among all those players. And you mentioned it earlier too, Adam, about we had Bedard on an earlier podcast in November. So you can go back, check that one out, listen to what he had to say, and then maybe come back to this one again and hear some of the new things, what's on his plate most recently. So a lot of good podcasts to look back on. Everything is evergreen. So it's always good to listen to and catch up on.
And NHL Draft Class is free to download and subscribe to anywhere you enjoy your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. Tell us how good you think we are. We know we're good, but we like to hear it from other people. And look, you can follow us on NHL.com with all of our draft info and follow us on social. I'm at NHL Adam K on Twitter. Mike, you are?
At Mike Moriel, NHL. You you lost me there for a minute.
Yeah. I think maybe you do need another cup of coffee.
I think I do. Yeah.
Well, Mike refreshes his caffeine level. that's going to do it for us at NHL Draft Class. But please stay tuned. We're going to have more great draft coverage as we build up to the big day in June at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.